The U.S. economy growing at a rate of 2.8% in the final 3 months of last year. CBS MoneyWatch.com's Jill Schlesinger says, yeah, it's the best quarter of 2011, but
we really need to see growth above 3% for a few quarters in a row to see a general uptick in economic activity.
So Wall Street finding those numbers unsatisfactory today, and another reason for stocks to drop from CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
We saw Fitch Ratings Agency downgrade the credit ratings for five European nations, including Spain and Italy. We also found out that Spain now has an unemployment rate of 23%. That means that 5 million people in Spain are without a job.
The Dow right now down 60 points. NASDAQ is up 8. S&P 500 down a couple. The economy at the heart of the message delivered to Democrats by President Obama last hour. Earlier in the day at the University of Michigan, he told higher education in America, you're being put on notice. Cost of tuition has got to be more affordable, and here's how he intends to make that happen.
From now on, I'm telling Congress we should steer federal campus-based aid to those colleges that keep tuition affordable, provide good value, serve their students well.
4 days till the Florida primary, the two at the top of the GOP battle looking for the Latino vote.
Both Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney have spoken to a conference of Hispanic leaders near Miami. Romney says the GOP is not an anti-immigrant party.
We are the pro-immigration, pro-legality, pro-citizenship nation and party.
Gingrich says he does favor big changes to the nation's immigration laws that would give immigrants already in the U.S. a chance to stay.
We should have citizen review boards. They should be able to apply, and they should then get a right of residence, not citizenship.
Immigration's an issue in Florida's Republican presidential primary Tuesday. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Egypt banning at least 10 Americans and Europeans, including the son of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, former Congressman Sam LaHood, from leaving that country. The secretary suggests this is not playing well with some in Congress.
It has gotten the ire of a lot of members of Congress who have supported Egypt in the past.
Travel ban is part of an Egyptian criminal investigation. Foreign-funded democracy organizations there. Here's a recording of the 911 call made by a friend of Demi Moore.
Is she breathing normally?
No, not so normal, but more sort of shaking.
Okay.
Both things to me, but burning up.
All right. What does she take?
Some form of, and then she smoked something I didn't really see.
Okay.
She's been having some issues lately with some other stuff, so I don't know what she's been taking and not.
Her publicist says the actress is hospitalized, seeking professional help to treat exhaustion. Colton Harris Moore, known better as the Barefoot Bandit, sentenced today in Seattle to 6.5 years in prison for his infamous 2-year international crime spree of break-ins, boat and plane thefts that ended in a hail of bullets in the Bahamas in 2010, for which he is already serving a 7-year sentence. This is CBS News.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision, because neither rain nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal Lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just have a website. No, we have a massive find the part you need, get it delivered, save cash site. AdvanceAutoParts.com. I tell you to type that into your browser, but when you're on AdvanceAutoParts.com, you ain't browsing. You're getting stuff done. Now save $20 off orders of $100 or more. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
It's a sound that keeps millions awake at night. Australian researchers have come up with a pacemaker-like implant that can cure snoring. A hypoglossal nerve stimulation device is implanted under the tongue and works by stimulating the nerve that controls the muscles of the tongue. It has proven effective at controlling snoring and treating sleep apnea, a potentially dangerous condition that disrupts breathing during sleep. The implant can be programmed to work only when the patient is asleep, or can be turned on and off via remote control. The perfect gift for that special someone. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Office of the Mayor of East Haven, Connecticut is being blasted with prank phone calls, hundreds of tacos, too, since the mayor said on TV that he would address accusations of police bias against Latinos by eating tacos. The mayor has apologized several times for his comment, but he's resisting calls for his resignation, and the tacos keep coming. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. Its lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just have a website. No, we have a massive find the part you need, get it delivered, save cash site. AdvanceAutoParts.com. I tell you to type that into your browser, but when you're on AdvanceAutoParts.com, you ain't browsing. You're getting stuff done. Now save $20 off orders of $100 or more. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
We have things to talk about today. It's Friday. Pretty day out. Friday. Karen Bennett's coming in. Jim D. It's going to be a good day.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
And Bill's here. We're running a tad late today with the Karen because she had some kind of car problem. She called and said, I got to be a little bit late. So I said, okay. Now, so when she gets here. Yeah, we're cool. It's our show, you know. We can just do whatever we want. Someday it'll catch up with me. But so far, so good. All right, so far, so good. Yeah, I saw this headline, and I have mixed emotions because I was a sailor, I guess, if I suppose. And so it says, a lawsuit filed to protect whales from Navy sonar. Well, it actually protects whales and Chinese submarines.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the slow promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade. Mike's Shoes, they got all the great shoes. They got the Uggs and stuff are still going on because winter's actually still here. Or winter's, well, it's hiding the Dodges, the Ducks, and, you know, we're not really sure where it is. We can't really put our finger on a map and say there's where winter is, but it's around. So you might want to get some wintery shoes. Hey, let's hear today. According to the Tribune, find out what happened in our day in history. Highlighting history on January 27, 1967, astronauts Virgil, Gus Grissom, Edward H. White, and Roger Chaffee died in a flash fire aboard a test during a test aboard their Apollo spacecraft. And they said that what accelerated that fire beyond anything they'd ever imagined was that it was lined with Velcro. In 1880, Thomas Edison received a patent for his electric incandescent lamp, and now they're going by Tom. 1945, Soviet troops liberated the Nazi concentration camps Auschwitz and Birkenau in Poland. 1977, the Vatican issued a declaration reaffirming the Roman Catholic Church's ban on female priests. They're still banned. 1984, singer Michael Jackson suffered serious burns to his scalp when pyrotechnics set his hair on fire during the filming of a Pepsi-Cola commercial at the Shrine Auditorium in L.A. 10 years ago, Wafa Idris, a Palestinian paramedic, became the first female suicide bomber against Israel for attack claiming the life of an 81-year-old man.
Our birthdays today, ballet star Mikhail Baryshnikov is 64, actress Mimi Rogers is 56, commentator Keith Olbermann is 53, and actress Bridget Fonda is 48 today. Happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you on this pretty day if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
Huntington, an 18-year-old senior at Jackson Dell High School in Indiana. She was texting and driving. It's clear that's what caused the accident. That's how she lost her life. What these kids and this school and this principal have done is taken this tragedy and they produced a public service announcement.
I have a car accident. I need the ambulance and the lifeline.
I've done it.
Me too.
We've all done it.
I am not immune.
It can happen to anyone.
It can happen to me.
Me too.
All of us.
I'm angry.
I'm mad.
I feel lost.
We're sad.
I will never do it again.
No more.
Never.
We will not do it again.
Don't text. Just drive.
Tell me about these students and what they've done.
Well, obviously, it was a very tragic accident, and in the week after the funeral, students, adults, the teachers, we were all just really had no focus, very sad. I'd spoke with Emily's mother, and she'd made a comment. I said, is there anything we can do as a school community to help you and help the family? And she said, if you could somehow do something so that another parent does not have to go through what I'm going through, something so that these kids, you know, other kids from other schools don't have to go through what our students are going through. So, you know, it was very touching. I felt kind of helpless, and it just hit me one day, actually the next day, what about a public service announcement?
Tell me the impact this has had on you, this whole everything from the crash to the death to producing this thing together, what you've taken away from this experience and what it's done to you.
Well, from the first night, I mean, even when we found out the night of the accident, all of my classmates were just numb. You know, we couldn't believe it. You know, one of those examples of this won't happen to us happening to us. And, you know, all of my friends were just so dumbfounded that something like this happened, and we just have to change. We don't want other people to feel like we do. So, you know, Mr. Budd came to me one day at lunch and said, we have this idea, and I shared it with some of my classmates and said, yeah, we'd really like to participate and be a part of something positive coming out of this. I'm really hoping that it will make an impact and change someone's life.
Pat Sajak, you know, Wheel of Fortune's host, since 1981 says,
and some of the old shows, he and Vanna White were a bit tipsy.
In NBC in Burbank, we had a place called Los Arcos across the street. It's Spanish, as you know, but the Arcos. And we go, and they serve great margaritas. So we would go, Dan and I would go across and have two or three drinks, and then come and do the last shows and have trouble recognizing the alphabet. They're really good tapes to get over.
I mean, I know he was joking, but three or six margaritas.
I want to buy a vowel. Excuse me.
A vowel.
You know, we tried that when we start.
The sounds of Karen Vealey in the room from CalcoastNews.com. And Karen, welcome again today.
Hi.
We had Karen in here very specially yesterday for a very huge story that broke yesterday. And I think what we'll do is we'll review that and what's going on with Lisa Solomon, who's the chief of police of Paso Robles Police Department as of now.
And I'm hearing that she's still there, but I'm also... I think that something's going to happen. For those that weren't listening yesterday... What happened with Lisa Solomon, 2 years ago, a couple officers came to Cal Coast News and said that she had touched them at work, during their work, and touched their genitals, and had been making sexual advances at officers that were not wanted, and that she had also done it in public, in front of others, and you know, a number of different types of sexual touching by the chief. They're also claiming that she threatens to bring criminal charges and to trump up charges against them if they don't do what she says. Lots of claims that she's not running the department correctly. And there are many, many officers that are talking to the media. The city is facing a whole slew of lawsuits from officers that say that they have been either sexually harassed or threatened with criminal actions. And I'm having more and more officers. My email was full today with former officers that said they were asked to break the law and trump up charges against other officers that she was upset with. Wow. So there's more and more coming coming forward. And I think this is an issue that's going to continue to be in the public view, because how many of these men, what's the cost to Paso Robles? What is the financial ramification? But it's more and more people, I think, is going to just make a difference. There are also several of them are saying, Jim App, the city manager, has known about all this stuff for years, has not told the council, and has allowed it to happen. And that's what's going on. People are saying, why is she not on paid administrative leave? You have a woman accused of committing a crime against her officers, and she's allowed to still sit in the room with them? So there's that I think is going to be one of the things that's going to hurt in the lawsuits. Why did Jim App allow this to happen for years, knowing it's happening?
Wow. Amazing, amazing. That's just a story gets crazier all the time. Here's one of the comments that was made yesterday. This was, early today. The chief has given a whole new meaning to the long arm of the law. Yeah, you got to throw that stuff in. Yeah.
It is getting a lot of traction. And one interesting thing is one of our bloggers posted a link to a 3-year-old Tribune story. And if you go look at the Tribune, people just reading the blogs, these are people that have gone past the story and have decided to read through the blogs. Links from that from our story, a blog post, is the second most hit story, is a 3-year-old story they've linked to in the Tribune.
Is this, this story about, here's another one here. There's so much going on with this woman, the chief. Here's a story here. In 2010, Solomon was allegedly looking to get rid of Officer Jeff Bromby. Did we mention this yesterday?
Yeah. I don't know if we did talk about
it. I don't think
Bromby.
We did. After the district attorney's office rebuffed attempts to have the officer charged with theft for helping his girlfriend remove items from an elderly relative's home, she was successful in having him charged with unauthorized access to driving records.
And that's what she's done. Two of them that she couldn't get another criminal. She usually threatens with criminal, and if you resign, she doesn't. But on several officers, she's gone after the battery, and she just can't get the DA to pick up battery with a, she'll take a tape and say, this looks like battery to me, against a suspect that's violent or fighting. But she just hasn't had luck with that, so she's been going after this. But I also had a couple other officers say everybody in there's done it. If they go through these records, they're going to find that almost everybody in this department has done it. They've pulled up their kids, or they've pulled up someone. They've told me the chief has done it. They've told me mostly, they don't know of anyone in there hasn't. Now, this officer is currently going through the court system with criminal charges. He has retained Elon Funky Blue, who will be fighting this case and saying that he did nothing illegal. So this should be he's an excellent attorney. And I think that this is going to be a very interesting case to watch.
Who's the attorney?
Elon Funky Blue.
The Bluester. All right.
Yeah, and he's good. For those that ever watched him in court, he does an excellent job. So and there's a lot of other issues that are going to be coming up. This is something I think it's going to be one of the big news stories of the year, because there's allegations that people aren't, that officers have been ordered not to do their jobs correctly, that the public is not protected from violent criminals in that area right now. There's allegations that she's got illegal quotas on her. There's a lawsuit going an attorney in L.A. has filed it or filing it, and it's regarding the quota for the tickets. And I think we brought this up yesterday, but it's going to that could be a big deal, because in L.A. an officer sued for that and ended up getting $2 million, several officers.
Well, somebody on your site said, I would also like to hear from former police chief Dennis Cassidy. After all, it was he who insisted that Chief Lisa take over when he retired. Despite her obvious inexperience, unprofessionalism, and all-around incompetence, Chief Dennis Cassidy basically crowned her as a successor. In light of these allegations, that sounds really fishy to me.
And there are allegations that Dennis Cassidy was kind of living the rough life, not touching his men, but a lot of partying and different things going on with him also, and that they were kind of buddies. And I don't know how.
Kissing cousins, pen pals, whatever it is. All right, so it's a huge story. There's no question about it. I'll tell you how big it is, and I assume we can promote this. Is it you're going to be on KSBY tonight?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you the truth. Normally, news people don't interview other news people and say, "Here, come aboard and tell us the story." But
they said they wanted, since we broke us, they want us to come in and talk about it was a long time coming. And we didn't work on it for 2 years, but we just, for 2 years, we'd go work on it every once in a while. I was working on it this summer with George Ramos when he passed away, our editor at the time.
Cold case, San Luis Obispo right here. All right, Pastor Robles, excuse me. All right, let's talk about some other things that are going on in our world, and what would you like to bring up next?
Well, let's talk about the Adam Hill tape again. I'd like to talk about the Frank Meacham. And for those who don't know, there was Adam Hill made a phone call, and in the phone call, we talked about this last week, in the phone call, he calls names, calls a woman names that it posted in the Tribune. She said, what are you, a communist, a socialist, or a Marxist? And then he goes, this message is from Ed Waggie, his opponent in the race for supervisor. At first, he did not say that it was him that made the call. After 9 days, he said that it was him, that it was just a joke, and that when he was first asked about it, he didn't remember that he'd made that call. So meanwhile, the Board of Supervisors, I guess, are getting a ton of calls. The different supervisors saying, do something about this. So, and then three different people got up at Tuesday's meeting and pretty well went after Adam. I mean, there's video of the meeting on a story on Cal Coast News. And went after Adam Hill saying, you need to apologize. And they asked the board to please sanction him. The third woman that got up was kind of interesting. She had spoken out against the bag ban because she was for banning bags but didn't like the way the ordinance was written. And there are some people that don't like the idea that they're going to be paying 10 cents a piece now for paper bags. And that seems to be part of the issue here. And she said that she thought it was inappropriate after she spoke against bags that Adam called her, and those against it, homophobic anti-abortionists. And what did that have to do with it? And so that came out.
You what?
Adam's Bay. You need to watch some of these board meetings.
I told you from what I'm hearing, and now he's telling me this. There's a circuit board that's all screwed up in there. He called the women that didn't want the bag ban. What?
And I didn't go to this meeting, and this one wasn't taped. It was at the waste management meeting. But I've seen Adam do this type of thing before, call names from his seat. Anti-abortionist and homophobic. But it kind of falls with what's going on. People that are conservative, he calls racist. You know, he calls them different names. And he's done this a number of times. Oh, and if you know, he's liberal, they're conservative. And then when he called, acting as if he was his conservative opponent, he called a liberal woman communist, socialist. So he's pushing some of these separation between the parties.
He's pushing the edge of the rubber room, is the way it sounds to me.
But the interesting thing after all this happened is Frank Meacham goes after him. And he stands up there and he tells Adam that he needs to give an apology, not only to the people of this community and the board, but he needs to call Ed Waggie and make an apology.
Now, I have to tell you the truth. I have no idea. If you're censured as a supervisor, what does that mean? What happens?
And I'm not exactly sure either.
I don't think, I mean, they say you've done a bad thing. We all just declared you've done a bad thing. You've done a bad thing. And then you go on with your life, I guess.
And the interesting thing is, so you have Meacham asking for an apology. And then Adam Hill, doing a bit of stuttering, says it doesn't apologize. And says it was a joke and we need to move on and get back to business. And then Gibson, doing quite a bit of stuttering also. And again, you can... listen and watch this. It's on Cal Coast News. And look at, see the interaction. But then you have Gibson also supporting Adam Hill, saying it was just a joke that should have been kept private between friends. And then you have Patterson also come to Adam's defense. And so there's a lot of people there's been a lot of people coming after all three of them now for supporting Adam's behavior. And, you know, we have a race that was really tight up in North County. Patterson is also running against Debbie Arnold,
right,
Jim Patterson.
Right.
And I've heard that the radio stations up there have been covering this all week long.
Well, again, we go back to the thing of the odd part of this really is the fact, not that he did it and said it and all that. And if he says, let's say he says it's a joke and I go, okay, it's a joke. Unfortunately, you can't do it to someone who's written a letter to the editor and say, well, here, I'm going to pick up the paper and go jump on you. I mean, you just can't do that.
And his claim is that they're close friends, and they have, and he sent out a letter with a picture of her, but the photographer took a picture of him with everybody at this fundraiser, so they had pictures of everybody. So he sent out a picture, and he's claiming we're close friends, and it was a joke between friends. But when she got the message, she didn't recognize Adam Hill's voice. She's a friend of Ed Waggie and knew it wasn't Ed Waggie. You know, so she was able to recognize it wasn't Ed Waggie, but not able to recognize
who it was. Well, yeah,
but Adam has since come out and said he is absolutely supporting her fight against development on Price Canyon. So this is someone that, if he stays on the supervisory board, will help her agenda.
as the Los Robles thing moves on. It was like, I've been reading some more about this whole thing. It's interesting. I find that you got the Price Canyon project, and you know, everybody, you know, going crazy over that. And again, it's so interesting that, you know, this is, and I don't hear it mentioned as often, and we said this is but a piece of a huge thing that they're talking about eventually doing in Price Canyon. I mean, this is like minor, this development, compared to what they want to do in Price Canyon, what's been suggested in Price Canyon.
Yes, and if you, and one of the interesting things too, and I've talked to both sides. The one side, they say they ride their horses on the property. It's too pretty to develop. There's not enough water, and you know, there is a water problem, and yeah. They're absolutely, you know, they're going to have to find water if they're going to do it. And then you talk to the developers, and they say, wait a minute, you know, we're supposed to do smart groups, smart growth. So what they did is they did real small lots in chunks. So most of it's, you know, most of it is still open space, and most of it is still not developed. And they actually, then there was a write-up in the New Times, oh, this is a whole bunch of small lots. You know, this is bad because it's all small. But they were trying to go as green as possible and do the smart growth plan, which that says you group and you use less land.
So wait a minute. So what they're saying is, well, yeah, but if you can find more homes on a smaller piece of property, that has nothing to do with how much water you're going to consume.
I mean, it has nothing to do with the water, but it had to do with, there were complaints made, well, look at how they're developing this. And it was made that they went with the smart growth. It has nothing to do with the water, but they went with the smart growth plan of doing, you know, chunks of homes on much smaller lots all pushed together, and then having most of it open space for animals and that type of thing. Most of it's not going to be developed. Hmm. It's going to be in little areas. And then they were kind of reamed for that. They were like, wait a minute, we did what's supposed to, we're planning on going with this plan.
But wait a minute, they're still talking about 400 homes, correct? They're about 390.
Well, I'm not talking about the Robles. I'm talking about the other development that used to be owned by John King. The bigger development.
Oh, the bigger development. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Okay.
But I think Robles has water now, and that's why they went for it. The other one, I think they're working on a number of water issues. And one of the possibilities over there is the oil company out there, I can't think of the name of it, put together, they're putting in like a 60, or is it, I can't remember, it's a very expensive, I think it's $67 million water reclaimed water plant. And it's going to have cleaner water coming out of that than you'd even have coming into your home. And I think what they're hoping to do is use some of that for like the gray water, which is the bulk of water is toilet water and that type of thing. And if they could do that, they could probably, if there's something they could work out, they could the water issue would be gone.
Not to me.
But I mean the fact that there isn't enough water for the development.
What I'm saying though is, you know, when somebody tells me I'm going to start drinking reclaimed water from my toilet, I'm going to pause.
Oh no, it's just for the yard watering and the toilet.
Oh, okay.
It won't be for your drinking. It won't be. There's an idea. The biggest water user is your toilet in your home.
Is it still?
Yeah.
Even with this thing where it only lets you use 3 ounces of water to try to flush the damn thing.
Water, the toilet is a big issue. So if you can take out water in your lawns and toilets and just have it for your drinking water and your cooking water and your bathroom water, it takes it to a different level.
Okay, that's interesting. All right. We're going to come back. We're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back with Karen Beely from CalcoastNews.com. Let me encourage you to call in if you'd like and talk about anything that we bring up or anything else. 786-2578, our local number, 786-2578. Our toll-free number is 1-866-937-1340. That's 1-866-937-1340. We'll be back.
No matter what time of year it is, Farm Supply is always in season. We're proud to be your local source for all your home, garden, farm, and ranch needs. The season we're hoping for most right now is a rainy season. At Farm Supply, we can help you prepare for the rain with rain gear, sandbags, seed, erosion control products, and more. It's also time to prune your roses and fruit trees. We have the tools you need for successful pruning, from sprayers to pruners and loppers, spray oils, tree seal, and tie tape. We also have experts to answer all of your pruning questions. Don't forget about our pet supplies, garden tools, and westernware for the whole family. Farm Supply has the products you love right here at home. And remember, Farm Supply is a locally owned cooperative. that means when you shop at Farm Supply, you're supporting our community's farmers and ranchers. Visit us at our new locations in Paso Robles on Ramada Drive and in Buellton on McMurray Road. We're also located in Arroyo Grande, Santa Maria, and San Luis Obispo. At Farm Supply, we have everything you need for the farmer in you.
I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime.
I'm Art Emmer, and welcome to our guest show, The Great American Songbook Reprise.
I'm co-host Shireen. You've been listening to Art and Steve Libia performing Get Me to the Church on Time from their upcoming CD, Frank and Frankie, a celebration of the Sinatra romantic eras.
Frank graciously gifted me a singing lesson, and this week our good friends John DeAndrea and Carmine Rubino of Paso Robles D'Ambino Winery complete our tribute to Mr. Sinatra. They are formerly Hollywood's legendary composer, producer, engineers who have created the soundtrack of our lifetime. We also feature a compelling interview with Cheryl Tolan, founder of Welcome Home Troops.
We greatly appreciate our generous, sustaining sponsors, D'Ambino Vineyards and Cellars, Roxanne's Birkenstock at ShoeSurfing.com, Upper Crust Trattoria, and we welcome our newest sponsor, Doug Coleman of Coleman Forensic Services.
Bring a ding-dong.
The Gas Show, Saturday at 1 p.m., Sunday at 5 p.m.
We're back. This is CalcoSnews.com on Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network. Once again, if you want to call in, 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340, and you're certainly welcome to do so. Karen Veeley's with me today, and we're talking about, we have our week in review on Fridays, and we're talking about what's to be reviewed, and one of the things that's going on is another race this is not a supervisorial race, it's the mayoral race in San Luis Obispo, and so Andrew Carter's now challenging Jan Marks in that contest.
Yeah, and it was interesting, Jan Marks sent out an email announcing her candidacy, and within 24 hours you have... Andrew Carter, who was expected. I mean, this was pretty well expected by many. And both kind of claiming, not really both. She claimed, some of the things that they'd done financially and the binding arbitration, which Carter was actually more behind of the two. Getting rid of binding arbitration. Yeah. They both really strongly said that they would be the best one financially for the city during these tough budget times. They're kind of claiming the same thing. I think it's going to be an ugly race because you're going to have people mad at Jan Marks for the Delidio incident. And for those that don't know, she had worked in a committee to help Delidio get his property together and was working with the supervisors. And there was a four-person group, I think John Ewing and Jan Marks were the two. And then after they made all these agreements, then she went and started worked with a group trying to stop him that was funded by a competing developer, the Copelands.
Right. It was just really a huge hot. And this was before we knew it was the Copelands.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is but even knowing at that time, as soon as it was revealed that she was on that committee, it just became such a huge conflict of interest in her role as a council person. It was a bit mind boggling.
It's very distasteful.
Yes.
To say, and there was an $80,000 fine against the Copelands and against Booker, who also supported the Copelands with their LLC, because they were hiding money through an LLC, so you wouldn't know that this group that Jan Marks was running, that they kept claiming was a group of environmentalists, and it was a grassroots, was actually funded by someone with a financial reason to stop Ernie Delidio. So you're going to have that. And then you have some that are angry at Andrew Carter right now for pushing the end of binding arbitration. It went very, very well, but it got a little ugly with city workers and policemen. So there's going to be, I think it's going to be a very contentious.
I think you're right. I think it is going to be. And it's a pick of one or two straws to me, but okay.
And that's on Calcoast News. If you look at the blog post, a lot of them are actually saying, I don't want either one of them. So it's kind of interesting rather than, because usually when you name two candidates, you'll have pros and opponents on both. But I think there's a lot that aren't pro or opponent on either.
We're having, I don't know what's happened in our area. I don't know what's going on anymore. But we have a Morro Bay man arrested for having sex with a minor. One of a list of 100 since the new year. You know, it's just like insane what's going on around here.
It is. There seems to be a lot of very, remember we had the Destiny Meyer murder that was just ghastly.
Right.
Calcoast News is going to have some stuff coming out about that. So a whole lot of new information that the public has not been told yet. Will be coming out soon. So there's, you know, but that was just, I think, the most ghastly murder I think I've ever heard of. And then you had the murder up in, where the four people murdered the guy in the hotel room. There are group murders going on and just some really bizarre behavior.
Yeah, it really is. Well, wait, there was a, I can't remember her name, and I feel so bad, I can't think of it right off the top of my head. There's a murder of a young girl in the South County down in Pomo a number of years ago. And that became extremely disgusting in that they had sex with her cadaver, with her body after she was killed. So that was a strange thing that happened. That was
a younger like Destiny Morrow.
Yeah, very much the same age, kind of thing.
Awful.
It was just another awful thing. All right, now here we have another thing that, and I'm gonna have you tell us about, because it's a weird thing, and that's this child celebrity's mother is suing three major media outlets for airing a video and reporting on the actions of a 5-year-old Isabella Barrett when she danced and sang an electro rap song entitled "Sexy and I Know It," which happens to be in the top 10 forever at a New York nightclub. The performance then aired on the cable television channel TMZ. So. Here's what's kind of curious about that, just off the top. If your daughter's going to do it, and you sanction the fact that she's going to do it, because she would have to do so in order for her to do it to begin with, and you have one of these little teen, what do they call them, the little Cinderellas
pageants.
Or something, what do they call them?
Pageants.
Well, pageants, but they call these little girls something, I don't know what they're called, teen queens, or tiny teens, or tiny, I don't know what they're called. Anyhow. But anyway, so if you have a little girl do that who's 5 years old and then sings a song like that, mom, you know who's at fault here? You know, not the three networks that aired it by any shot. But okay, that's fine. I mean, she has a right to sue whoever she wants to, but that's just foolishness to me.
I think so, too.
I don't
because
understand.
Because if you're going to put your child out like that, you would expect there to be some cameras.
Well, and plus the fact, I mean, I think there should be a question of parenting in this thing. You know, I mean, if you have a child and that's what you're doing with her, how healthy is that? I mean, that's shameful is what it is. So, sorry, that's my view of that whole thing. So anyway, good luck with that lawsuit. I don't really see that going anywhere, but okay. What else do we have here? We got got a lot of weird people out there. Other convicted sex offender that worked at Tascadero Hospital, he's got cancer, so he wants his sentencing delayed. And
he worked at the Templeton. Templeton Hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. He was at Templeton Hospital. I apologize.
And, you know, this is a he's been delaying, and this makes no sense to me because the prisons are full of people with health issues, absolutely full with people with health issues. And why is this man, why are they, they keep saying, can the prison handle him? And, yes, it'll be more of a cost. But, where is he now? Is he around the victims at all? Do we know what's going on? I'm pretty sure he's not. I think one of the victims is actually in a – I read the police reports on this. And they went to a – I think he's in, like, a facility for children that are very traumatized because of the abuse. And the young boy had both of his abusers, parents telling him, don't tell the other one what I'm doing. And they're both sexually molesting him.
Well, yeah, this was the one boy was both being molested by he and his wife, and then the girl by himself. I don't know. I'm going to really bet it comes down to dollars and cents. I really think that's probably what's involved in this. I think that, the other situation you have is, although if you're convicted of a sex offense, you're not going to jail. You're going to prison. So,
yeah,
but the issue then can be, how much are we going to have to spend on this guy if he goes to prison versus let the guy die at home of cancer?
And this was years and years of abuse. This wasn't a one-time incident. I read the police reports, but it was one night a week where the mother would go do something out of the house with the son. That was abuse night for this little girl for years and years. This was the night that she went through things. He would, have her read porn while he did things. It was just a very bizarre case, and a young child.
We're back to whatever's in our air here in San Luis Obispo is changing the face of things that are going on. What else is going on? Anything special?
I think the biggest thing, I would go back to Lisa Sullivan. Mm-hmm. I think that's the story that's really going to keep, I think that the county is going to be looking at this for the rest of the year. I think it's going to be the biggest story of the year.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is let's hope that it is. Let's put it that way. Let's hope it's the biggest story of the year. I mean, we're talking 2012. Let's have hoping nothing as weird happens again this year. But here's what I'm saying. So Jim App, the question now is becoming is how long should she remain on active duty?
And they had a grievance filed. I've talked to officers that were interviewed in December. They had a grievance filed by Officer McCall, who said that she touched his penis, and while he was in his car. When that allegation, if they went as far as to hire, they're paying an outside investigator to come in and look at this, knowing that, shouldn't she be kept away? This is somebody saying, hey, there was a crime committed against me. Why is other officers then were interviewed and said, hey, she also touched me. They said that in December. We're now near the end of January, and she is still at her seat running her department. And many, many officers are claiming that over time she has threatened to do criminal action on those that don't do what she said.
Well, I'll say again, at this point it makes no sense that she's not on administrative leave while
they investigate.
And if she
was a man. There's a difference, this is sexist. It's sexist because if she was a man, she would be in trouble. I had someone in the counseling business call me a couple years ago and say, this is a tough thing because you're writing stories about Lisa Solomon, you're writing stories about the other chief, should you not be doing this? She's got a history. She went out, she had a non-registered gun. She gets a non-registered gun. She leaves it in her car, unlocked. Criminals take it. They are there's a call for a burglary in Atascadero. They go and they find these two guys in the back of a lot, all dressed in black with black gloves on, and guns in the car. And they pull out the gun, and Lisa Solomon's business card is in the gun. So they call Lisa that night. They call their chief. They call Lisa. They don't arrest these two guys. They don't make an incident report. They don't arrest the two gentlemen. They did later. When this first happened, they let them go, call Lisa. She runs down the middle of the night to file a missing gun report. So now she actually, which she should have done immediately, she reports it late, gets her gun back. The other chief gives her this gun. You can't give an unregistered gun back. one thing after another, and she kept her job through that. She, her and her husband, she makes about $200,000 a year with benefits, just her. She also has, you know, children from other marriages. She, her husband's working. You know, there's enough, there's money coming into the home. They have a T-shirt shop. I get a call from a guy running for supervisor who said, you know, they're filing bankruptcy and saying that they lost their business and he's still making T-shirts in his garage. And this is, you know, I think, I can't remember, it was like an $80,000, $200,000 bankruptcy, and it was things like furniture for their home. And they legally can't file bankruptcy because if you make more than the median income in your area, you're not legally allowed to file personal. So it looked like they were trying to do a personal bankruptcy through the business. So I call this the officer Chitty, and he's a San Luis Obispo officer. And I call him and I say, hi, my name is Marilyn Mahaffey, and I'm part of the Cat Lover Society, and I'd like 300 T-shirts. And he goes, sure thing. And it goes into prices and everything. So obviously he was lying about closing the business down.
Wow.
And these are our law enforcement. This is the chief and her husband who are running around telling other people, you know, she didn't lose her job over that one. A bartender called me at a bar in Paso Robles and said she's dancing up and down the bar's top.
Well, here's the thing. If you're a guy and you want to, well, let's get into the sexist part of this because it very much is, and we agreed with this yesterday. But let's say you're a guy. Guys, you know, they elbow each other and go, well, I don't know why anybody complain if they're doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you go, but here's the thing that makes this, and okay, that's men. You know how they are. We're not quite right. But the thing is that now what she's doing is she's leveraging the complaints of that against the person who doesn't want it to happen, you know, and says, okay, now I'm going to make your life hell and find a way to get you fired because you want to rebuff my advances. Well, that's just, I mean, that's insane.
And if this was a man, she would have probably been in jail by this time.
I have to say, I honestly agree with that. I don't understand this at all. So, I don't know. It's just really amazing to me that this is still going on. But I assume more and more stuff's going to come out with this story.
And I bet you by the middle of next week she's on paid administrative leave. But should the public have had to find out, or should they have done it? You know, that's the other thing. Why has Jim App been protecting her to this degree? And again, I've had so many officers call me and say Jim App knows what's going on. And maybe he probably doesn't know everything, but he has been told that I had an officer today tell me he was told to make trumped up charges on other officers and told App about it years ago.
Well, here's a person that mentioned this thing that you said. Back in August 2008, when Solomon's husband was caught conducting his T-shirt business while on duty, a CNN article described how he was rehired by SLOX chief Deb Linden, even though he and Solomon had filed bankruptcy and was being sued by multiple creditors. According to the article's high-ranking SLO police officer stated, they dotted all their I's, crossed their T's, and if you write that the hiring was due as a favor between chiefs without the usual background review, Chief Deb Linden said to me in an earlier conversation that she will use the full extent of the law to go after you. It isn't a secret that Solomon and her husband were close friends to Captain Parkinson, who has moved on to greener pastures about the same time as the rehiring. The only thing about this, the bankruptcy and filing bankruptcy and then actually conducting a business out of your home that's illegal, you know, you're not licensed to do, that's really the story. I don't think, if you say, well, this law enforcement officer and this law enforcement officer were friends, I don't find
well,
anything curious about that.
Well, there's a little bit more to that. Chitty, at the time, was running the T-shirt shop and not being a police officer. I think he had about 5 piercings on his face. And at that point, SLO was hiring. They did a check. He didn't apply for the job. They gave a conditional offer to a gentleman, I think, out of Santa Barbara. Did great on the test, did everything else, you know, did very, very well. They do not hire officers generally that are going through bankruptcy because considered if you're having financial troubles, you're more likely to take a bribe or do something wrong. That is pretty typical in most law enforcement. Meanwhile, they decide they're filing bankruptcy, and they call SLO. They go down. They say, hey, my husband needs a job. They reopened the process for that job just for him, let him apply for it, and gave it to him with the bankruptcy going on. And a lot of officers said he was given it it was definitely a gift between chiefs.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, and that's very possible. I'm saying that's very possible. But to say that the Solomons are also friends with Ian Parkinson, the sheriff, well, I think...
When they fight, yeah, they've taken vacations together, and they've been friends for years. But here's the other interesting thing. When they filed bankruptcy, they had a nice boat, and they needed to get it out of their name. Whose name do you think it went into? It went into Ian Parkinson's, and I pulled that, and it did go into Ian Parkinson's name.
I need a boat. What for, Bill? I don't know. Because I have to make a getaway at Lake Lopez. Interesting.
I will tell you, Ian Parkinson, there were a lot of ethical things when he was getting elected, but I'm hearing from people in the business that he's doing a really good job. So, there was a lot of, he had done this before, he's done this, he's ethically compromised, but he's in there and he's, from all appearances, he does appear to be doing things well.
Yeah, that's the impression I'm getting also.
Yeah.
So that's good news. We've taken on the chin a couple of times. If we go back at our sheriffs, looking backwards at some of the sheriffs and under sheriffs we've had, and some of the shenanigans that have gone on in the past, this is the only thing that Ed Williams did really wrong. I remember hearing about this was Ed Williams suggested that they put the shooting range. What did he say? Out by the jail. He said they put the shooting range up by the jail, and the only way that you could get out to the highway was through the range. But, hey, that's cop stuff, you know what I mean? We can't say anything about cops. But anyway, so this is just a lot of stuff going on, amazing story, and you continue to do great work, Kiddo, I'll tell you that. We'll get together again next week. If something else breaks, know that you can always hear it here on KYNS 1340 and on Talk is Cheap at noon. In between time, in the meantime, we'll have you. Well, so tonight, do you know what time you're going to be on tonight?
I think they're just going to do it on the news. I'm going to go tape it now.
Oh, you're going to go now and then tape it. Okay. All right. So Karen's going to be on KSBY tonight with this story and things about it, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Talk to you then.
Thank you, madam. I appreciate it.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's the economy. Commerce Department reporting a lower than expected growth rate of 2.8%.
There's still a lot of slack out there in the economy. There are a lot of people out there who would like to work who can't find a job. 2.8% growth, that's not really enough to get those millions of people back to work.
PNC Bank senior economist Gus Fauché. But on the flip side of the economy, there's Ford. Here's WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert with a story of survival in Detroit.
Ford has transformed from a company that was bleeding red ink a few years ago to one that's now had 11 consecutive profitable quarters. Michelle Krebs of Edmunds.com expects that trend to continue.
Well, 2012 is very promising because they've got a terrific product coming. The Ford Fusion is just a knockout.
For the average Ford worker, the earnings mean a profit-sharing check of $6,200. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Now, Ford's turnaround particularly noteworthy given significant troubles in both Europe and Asian car markets. Blasting the high cost of higher education, President Obama on the campus of the University of Michigan.
Since most of you were born, tuition and fees have more than doubled. That forces students like you to take out more loans and rack up more debt.
He says he'll ask Congress to deliver less federal funding to schools where tuition is out of control. Currying favor in South Florida's Hispanic community.
One of the things I will do in my first 100 days is to begin an economic initiative of drawing Latin American businesses and American businesses closer together.
As Mitt Romney addressing an Hispanic conference in Miami, Newt Gingrich also looking to capture some of those 1.5 million Latino votes there.
I would like a Cuban spring in 2013 to help the people of Cuba liberate themselves.
Florida primary this Tuesday. Remember when the mortgage markets went south, bringing on a financial crisis? So does law enforcement.
A new federal-state working group will try to ferret out civil and criminal violations in the market for residential mortgage-backed securities. Those huge investment packages that turned out to be nearly worthless and contributed to the financial collapse. Attorney General Eric Holder.
I have no doubt that we will improve our ability to recover losses, to prevent fraud, to bring abuses to light, and to hold those who violate the law accountable.
Civil subpoenas have already been delivered to 11 financial institutions, and Holder said there's more to come. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
The sounds of defiance in Syria. Marching in the streets of Damascus suburbs, protesting the government, forces loyal to President Assad, said to be shelling residential buildings and firing on crowds, dozens dead there. He was a bass player with Peter, Paul, and Mary for 5 decades. David Kniss co-wrote this John Denver hit.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy.
David Kniss dead of pulmonary disease at the age of 74. Some stocks dropped today. Dow loses 73 to end at 12,661. This is CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just have a website. No, we have a massive find the part you need, get it delivered, save cash site. AdvanceAutoParts.com. I tell you to type that into your browser. But when you're on AdvanceAutoParts.com, you ain't browsing. You're getting stuff done. Now save $20 off orders of $100 or more. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. Its lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Free speech and Twitter.
Twitter has changed its technology so it can now censor messages on a country-by-country basis, raising fears the company's commitment to free speech may be slipping. Molly Woods, executive editor at CNET.com.
Twitter is in a very difficult position here. In my opinion, I think they're doing the best they can by being very clear about the fact that when they are asked to remove a post, it will be replaced by a notice that says, that tweet has been censored.
Twitter says it's trying to navigate different laws from country to country, but critics say the company is on what one calls the slippery slope of censorship. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
She's a hero, an elementary school principal in New Hampshire jumping into a frozen river to save an autistic student who fell through the ice.
I've worked to get the child to shore where we could then get up the side of the embankment where we'd be safe.
Principal Glenn Rhodes and a 10-year-old boy treated for hypothermia and some bruises. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
If you want to save money this year, now's the time to save even more at Sam's Club. From January 25th through 29th, all members will receive $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings plus members enjoy all year. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee, $2 off Kleenex tissues, and much more. Want to save more every day? Become a Plus member and make the most of your membership with e-values all year. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership. No rain checks.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. Its lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Home and C-Store for details.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and at Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Hey all you Java lovers out there in Radio Land, it's a new year, and that means resolutions are made, and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago that's never been broken, and that's the folks at Slow Roasted Coffee. They made a vow to always keep their standards high, no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Roasted Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Roasted Coffee continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee priced right in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine Java at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot brew pots and slow roasted coffee, which will, of course, perk up the staff. All puns intended. Slow Roasted Coffee, your neighbors and friends.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henney. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at the 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute fire.
It's time for Jim D, and it's time for the Palm Theater, and it's time to talk about movies. Hi, Jimmy.
Bill, great to be here.
Nice to see you. We were supposed to have just really nice weather. Is it still blowing like it was blowing?
It seems like more wind. I always think of the springtime as windy, but
everything's changed.
I want rain.
Well, here's a really weird thing. I mean, Karen and I were talking about that. She has allergies, and so she was sneezing and wheezing, and my wife has them. And the plants have no idea what season this is. You know, they have 70s in the daytime, 30s at night. They don't know what's going on. You know,
yeah.
They're all crazy. So. Weird stuff. All right, here's what's going on. We're going to talk about the Palm Theater. We always kind of do that number two. First thing we're going to talk about is Academy Awards and the nominees. I'm going to put Jimmy on the spot here. You're going to have to pick. I'm going to ask you to pick them.
Oh.
All right, because I haven't seen a lot of them, and plus I'm not a good picker anyway.
Well, the best picture boils down to two. But
The Artist and the Descendants?
Yeah. No, Artist and Hugo, I think.
Oh, Hugo, that's right. Hugo has 11 nominations.
Yeah, and both of the top nominees are about movies. Well, essentially, The Artist is done in the style of a silent movie. It is a silent movie,
right.
Black and white. And Hugo, which I am determined to go see. I feel really kicking myself that I haven't seen this film. But I got to see it just because it got the Oscar noms. It's going to probably reappear in theaters, and I really want to get out and see it. I hear it's great.
And Martin Scorsese is so well-respected. You know, he just really is, and so that's interesting. So the others we'll just mention were The Descendants, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, which I said again, I don't know how that's going to go because it's a September 11, 9/11 movie. Midnight in Paris, which everybody loved at the Palm forever and ever. I don't think it was an Academy Award winner.
Nor do I.
I know, but it was enjoyable, but not an Academy Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
The Help, which everybody liked a lot, did okay. Moneyball, which didn't do as well as the Hope, War Horse, another Martin Scorsese, isn't that Martin Scorsese?
No, that's Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, yes.
And
he's got two.
Yeah.
He's got, let me see if I get it right here.
Look in the animated category.
Oh, that's right, the animated category.
Yeah.
And then A Tree of Life. Best actor, who do you want to pick for best actor?
Who do I think is going to get it is George Clooney. It's his turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, see, again, going back to the Best Picture nominees, there's 10 of them, and I think the idea of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences says, oh, this will give a little more exposure to some of these really good films. And, you know, it just seems like, why don't they have 20 nominees, you know? I mean, I'm sure they could come up with 20 or 15. I mean, those are all probably very good movies and maybe some favorites in there, but...
You know, I've always respected as an actor, I've always thought he's done a great job. And I have to tell you, I like Brad Pitt. I think Brad Pitt's a good actor.
I do, too.
Gary Oldman is a guy who, you know, he's always on the fringe out there somewhere in some way, and I don't think he'll get it next to George Clooney, but it's too bad in a way, because I think he's very good. That was in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Oh, it's great that you bring it up, because Gary Oldman has been acting for years and years and years, and he's always great, and probably more people see him like as... and who's the guy in the Batman movies? I always want to think of.
Well, that was interesting because, you know, after Batman, his next movie was The Book of Eli, and he's a bad guy again. So most of the time I've seen Gary Oldman, he's been a bad guy, you know. And I started to just assume that he was typecast that way, but then when he was in Batman, he was a bad guy at all. So it was kind of interesting.
Chief of police.
So it was kind of interesting. Best actress. This is when you have Glenn Close and Meryl Streep all in one sentence. There, you got things going on. And Miss Viola Davis, who was in The Help, she's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a great actress. I think she does a very good job. Any guesses on this one?
Her. I tend to think Meryl Streep. The word on The Iron Lady, where she portrays Margaret Thatcher, she's supposed to be incredible, and she always is. But I hear the movie is just okay, and it's not really a biography. It's a little more. It's not about the politics. Or, you know, I could be wrong here, but I hear that she is great. The movie is just okay. Glenn Close, I'm not sure if she's gotten it before. This is for a film called Albert Nobbs. We're going to have it at the Palm.
Now, this is a movie that she did, right? She wanted to do this movie? My understanding is I think she wrote this or something. I saw her being interviewed. Maybe I'm crazy.
I think you're thinking of Angelina Jolie and her directing debut, but I could be wrong.
What was that?
It's called In the Land of Blood and Honey. It's not really released yet. She wrote and directed it, Angelina Jolie.
Well, we'll have to see. I'll look up Glenn Close about Albert Nobbs because I saw her being interviewed, and I thought that's what they said, but who knows. Here we also have... And then this is, I'm told this was very well done. I haven't seen it. Michelle Williams in My Week with Marilyn.
Yeah, you know, she's a wonderful actress, too. I really like her a lot. That was another one where the portrayals and the performance is supposed to be spectacular, the movie just okay. But, again, I'm doing reviews of films I haven't seen. I'm just getting sort of the word in some of the reviews that I've read.
That's all we're asking today of us, of ourselves here. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, last nominee is Rooney Mara. And one thing I have to say is when I saw her interviewed, you know, and you see how she looks in the movie, and then you see her interviewed, it's like, holy cow, how'd they beat her up that bad?
A lot of piercings.
Anyway, but... there'll be a lot of noise around her, I think, because I think people you know, how you said, I'm not going to go see another version of it. I don't want to see another version of it. And so, but there's people that, you know, say, I don't want subtitly stuff. I'd rather see this and probably like the movie a great deal and then therefore would like her.
The story is amazing. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to a number of people who said, you got to go see the remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's very well done. David Fincher, a very respected director. He might be in the director category as well. The story of the first, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, there are three books, but the first one, the original movies as well, was just a knockout. And it's very tough stuff, but I mean, it's like a detective story. Right. There's villains that are really bad. The first Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original Swedish, the villains are the most vile people on the planet, which make for good villains. And I think hopefully that's the same in the remake. So,
well, here's the thing. But you could be right. You know, they did a remake of Moby Dick, you know, here a number of years ago. I'm not going to go see a remake of Moby Dick. I don't even want to look at it. I'm going to see my guy Gregory Peck and Moby Dick, and that's it. That's Captain Ahab.
Yeah, John Huston directed that, and I like that one too.
Okay, so we have Best Supporting Actor, Kenneth Branagh in My Week with Marilyn, Jonah Hill, Moneyball, and this is the first time he's been nominated, and he's making people seem to like him. You know, he's a good actor. Nick Nolte in The Warrior, Christopher Plummer in Beginners, and Mox Van Sydow in Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. Well, I'm going to guess. Do you want to guess first?
Well, there's two interesting nominees in there. And, well, first of all, I always like to talk about the supporting actor and actresses. Do you remember Bill Murray on Saturday Night Live when he was doing his movie review thing?
Oh, right, right.
And he gets to the supporting actors and actresses, and he has this little chart, and he just takes the names and throws them. He goes, who cares? Like that. Hilarious. Well, aside from that, the two nominees that are really interesting here are Christopher Plummer, who was fabulous in Beginners, and he won the Golden Globe, and I hope he wins it. I really like Christopher Plummer.
I think, you know what, the Christopher Plummer, the reason I'm thinking he's going to win it was because of the Golden Globes, and also because, you know, he's one of these senior actors, you know, and they usually
try.
I'm going to tell you this. The deck is stacked in its own way, because senior actors that come up with a good movie usually get the nod, because, you know, it's like, okay, how many more movies are they going to make?
Yeah, and he's a class act. However, we'll go even with more seniority and with the, you know, with a capital S there, with senior, Max von Sydow is nominated, and he's been in something like 150 movies. We go back to the early days of Ingmar Bergman in Sweden, you know, Seventh Seal and things like that, and he's been in a zillion movies, and I'm not even sure if he's won an Oscar yet. Now, apparently his role in, what is it, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, is good, but it is not perhaps his hallmark performance. But there again, I think they're giving, you know, they want to celebrate or award this longtime actor who may or may not have has an Academy Award. So even, I think Max von Sydow is older than Christopher Plummer. So we've got the
hard to imagine.
Got the senior element there in the supporting actor category.
Interesting. All right, we'll do Best Supporting Actress. We have The Artist. We have The Help. We have, I'll say their names. I can't say The Artist. I can't pronounce any of the people that are in The Artist, but that's okay. Bernice Bejo, I guess. The Artist, Jessica Chastain and The Help, Melissa McCarthy and Bridesmaids, Janet McTeer and Albert Nobbs, and Octavia Spencer in The Help. So I don't know.
You know, The Help was extremely popular. I think the thing about that film is this past summer, in fact, we talked about this, but it was all science fiction and fantasy and robots and things like that. And I think it was in August of this past summer they came out with The Help, which I think I characterize as the first summer release with human beings in it, and it made like $150 million plus or something. So due to that favorite aspect, a lot of people went to see that. I tend to think that that's going to get some winners, not in the top categories, but in the other categories.
Now, trust me, we're not going to do all of these. We're just doing some of the top, even though Bill Murray says, you know, who cares?
So it's sound effects editing.
All right, here we go. This is important. Best. You know what's really interesting, though? I think one of the most amazing things that people overlook, and I think, about movie production is the editor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you have to take 10 times as much film as you are going to go see and come up with the scenes that are going to make that thing make sense.
It's an art.
Oh, I mean, it's really an art. And it can be made or blown by the guy that's doing the editing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he picks the wrong things and puts them in the wrong order in the wrong way, and I'm not saying mix the whole thing up, you know what I'm saying? If he doesn't do it exactly right, you know, it's going to not work. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely an art, although, you know, and I'm glad that they honor these, but, you know, you get into some of these other categories like sound mixing and things like that, and sometimes I think more the technical things they should do.
But here's what I think I really wonder about. Here's what I really wonder about. You know, when I just go to see a movie and I sit at the end and I watch the credits and I look at things you have your director, you have your editor. There's another big category in there. They always have it. I'm trying to remember. I can't even think of what I'm trying to tell you. But it'll come to me.
Well, there's producers. There's executive producers. Yeah. There's associate.
But
producers.
That's just people. That's people with money.
Yeah.
You know, that's people that raise the dough. But
best boy.
Who's the film guy? What do you call him? Cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I always look, and I can't remember the name cinematographer, so what's the chance of me remembering the cinematographer's name again in another movie? But it just seems, you would think that after you've seen a whole bunch of movies, at some point a name would jump out at you that you've seen. And yet I think cinematographers are good for one movie, and then they move on to something else or something. I don't know. I'd never see a movie twice.
Well,
the name twice.
Bill, I have a movie for you to see.
All right.
I don't know if you have a Netflix list or something like that. But it's a film called Visions of Light. It is a documentary on cinematographers, and there's a lot of great ones that are interviewed. And, you know, cinematographers are not only vitally important to the movie, but in a lot of cases they're almost directing the film. I mean, the cinematographer and the director usually have a symbiotic relationship
right.
in the fact that they are creating what you're seeing on the screen, and that cinematographer has a heck of a lot of say, at least according to this documentary. And, you know, I mean, where's the director going to be without a cinematographer who can advise on what is the scene going to look like? Is it going to be dark? How, you know, what is it going to be light? Where are we going to put the people and things like that? I'm sure the director has that input as well, but the cinematographer is, to me, just as important as the director. So it's a fascinating documentary, Visions of Light, if you can find it. It's a real great look into cinematographers.
All right, we have Best Director. We have Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris, Michael, what's his name, from The Artist, Terrence Malick for The Tree of Life, Alexander Payne for The Descendants, and Martin Scorsese for Hugo. So this is the second time Hugo's come up as Best Director. So
that's going to be a tough call, because that's another bone I have to pick with the Oscars, and the fact that, okay, you have Best Picture, right? So who directed the Best Picture? Don't you think Best Picture and Best Director sort of should go hand in hand? But when the Best Picture award is given, it's the producer who probably, you know, got the stars, got the money, like you said, to pull it together. They get it. But it's always odd, and it usually causes some controversy, when the Best Picture is one thing and the Best Director, you know, is another film.
Well,
so it's like, how does that fit?
And that also goes to, you know, it's like the thing like, let's go back to Titanic, where, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't win Best Actor, you know, but Kate Winslet won Best Actress. And it's kind of like, there was the yin and the yang of the whole movie to me. I mean, they played off each other so well and did such a great job. It's like it was so weird that he didn't win Best Actor to me. It made no sense.
Yeah, you know, you do come to the end of it and you have to realize that it's the Academy members that are voting, and, you know, how it sort of comes out doesn't quite make a whole lot of sense. But, hopefully it's a good list of movies that were made in 2011.
Guy drowned, we know that, so maybe they said he wasn't alive when it was over. To hell with it. You know who they're killing off? I don't know if you know this. The Priceline, they're killing off Captain Kirk.
Oh, he was really funny on those commercials.
I know, but he's been with them for 14 years, and the commercial he's going to end in, there's like a two-part commercial, and they're on a bus that's teetering on a bridge, and he tells the people to get off and go get some good deals and all that, and then you see the bus start to go, and I guess maybe I saw the 30-second version of the 60, but what does happen from what I read is the bus explodes in flames at the bottom of a canyon. And that's the end of the
he should just
guy.
He should just hop onto the Enterprise and hit light speed, you know.
All right,
out of here.
So what are you guessing for best director? Whoever wins, are you going to say whoever wins best movie? I would think this time that might be so.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think if Martin Scorsese has gotten an Oscar, because he's one of those guys who's somehow due, and maybe he did, but...
And Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, you know, I don't think he's going to get it, but... and I can't think of the French director of
The
Artist,
yeah.
Might get it, and
right.
He's been making a lot of films over in... Yeah, in fact, the lead actor in The Artist, and I can't tell you his name,
yeah.
Has been in a ton of films over in France, made by the same director, where he plays this sort of funny James Bond-type character.
I understand he's new to America, though.
Yeah, very new, but yeah. The films, they're called... Oh, I'm at a loss, but... They're sort of like a Get Smart James Bond type thing, and they're very popular in France, but they had very little exposure here in the United States. A very small distributor picked them up, and very few people play them. So the lead in the artist and the director have had a relationship ongoing, and they pretty much, you know, hit pay dirt with The Artist. So I almost think that director might get it, but... you know, that's a tough category to call, and the fact that there are 10 nominees in the Best Picture, it's a tough one to call. Descendants might get it, too, because, you know, it's a pretty popular film, and I do think George Clooney is going to get Best Actor. Don't quote me, though.
Now, this is interesting. So here's something that's interesting. Well, let's do a couple of these that are kind of... I'm not going to do all the stuff. Let's do Best Animated Feature, Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, Kung Fu Panda 2, Puss in Boots, and Rango. And I have to say, I really like Rango. I think, once again, I like Rango because of the performance of Johnny Depp. I thought, you know, this is a different thing than I've heard him do before,
mm-hmm.
and the type of character he played, you know, this persona he decided to impersonate, you know, and that I thought it was very clever. I thought it was a cute cartoon.
I hear it's great, and you know when the Oscar nominations do come out, it's usually the controversy is what was left out, and here is the category that Spielberg got snubbed. Tintin is not in there. Right? Is it not in there for Best Animated, or is it?
No.
So that was sort of like, oh my gosh, Spielberg. I mean, even though War Horse is in the Best Picture category, Adventures of Tintin didn't make it into the Animated category. And there's actually a couple of titles in the Animated category that were sort of a surprise. Rango was one of them, in the fact that it did pretty good at the box office, but I was surprised to see it show up, even though it probably is deserving, based on your review, Bill.
That's it. My review
counts.
That's it right there. Rango's cute. You know what? They had the spirit of the spirit of the West is what they described it as in the credits. The spirit of the West, and the guy it was designed after Clint Eastwood,
mm-hmm.
And he's sort of this ghostly like creature kind of guy, you know. And he's saying you got to go back and kick butt, and it sounds like Clint Eastwood. And so I was waiting on the credits. I wanted to see, well, did Clint Eastwood actually throw his voice? He didn't.
Oh.
It was a guy impersonating Clint Eastwood.
Oh, well, that would have been nice. They would have had him in the credits if his voice was in there, probably.
I think so. Yep. All right, let's do this real quick. Original score. Now, John Williams is in up for two of them, so I don't see how he's going to miss, but okay. Adventures of Tintin, so he's up for that.
Okay.
And then The Artist, Hugo, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, and War Horse by John Williams also.
Yeah, for me, that's a crapshoot. I don't know. I have no idea what they're
going to
pick
really. These days, I don't know either. But and I don't know who Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy is Alberto Iglesias, and I don't know where in the Iglesias family he falls.
Hmm.
But anyway, I think John Williams is just an extraordinary composer.
Yeah.
Best Original Song, Man or Muppet from the Muppets, Real in Rio. Music by Sergio Mendes and somebody. So those are the two. Those are the only ones that are up. Man or Muppet. Now, oddly, Madonna won the best song in the Golden Globes,
mm-hmm.
and
she's not even nominated.
And Elton John was nominated also, and was really torqued off. You could tell that Madonna won it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, he did this Hello Hello song, which I think is a great song. I think it's very Elton John-ish and very up tempo and really kind of a cool song in Romeo and Juliet. But he's not in there either. So that's weird. And it's weird they only have two.
Yeah.
That's the original song. There's two. That's the only. There's two. What, you know, they got 150 people running for best movie, and you got two doing the song. I don't know.
Well, when the song comes on during the show, I head to the refrigerator.
I'm not doing best achievement makeup. I'm not doing that one there either. And then there was anything else, sound mixer. We're not doing that either. Best music. Best live act. We don't want that hat one. We don't care about that. The ones that are best that, and well, here we can do this. Best achievement in cinematography, The Artist, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and Hugo. And then best achievement in costume design are often period pieces, it seems, you know. The fancier the clothes you make, the better off you are in trying to win this. And so they have Anonymous, The Artist, Hugo, Jane Eyre, and W.E.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it sounds like maybe I'm being a curmudgeon here, but when you get into those categories, I mean, obviously it takes great talent, art to do costume design, set design, sound mixing, all that kind of stuff, but I wish they'd get the Oscar show down to about 2 hours, maybe, and just, you know, mention the winners. They don't have to come up and thank their family and all their associates and things like that, and trim it down. I think the viewership of the Oscar show would go way up if they got it down to like 2 hours, 2.5 hours max, and without all the usual things that usually, you know, make you snooze. So that's just me. Not a big Oscar fan. I usually think it's nice when they get the award right then and there, but let's just say a year from now, you're going to say, gee, I want to see that movie because it won the Oscar. You don't think that. You don't say, I'm going to watch Casablanca because it won the Oscar, because you want to see it because it's a good movie. You know?
Yeah, that's true, really.
So, I mean, it's good to honor these films, but to me it doesn't last so long, and it's nice, and it's good to honor all these artists, you know, the full range, music, acting, all that stuff. It's good.
But it's fun. You know what's interesting also, though? Here's what the interesting thing about these award shows is this, though, to me, is to look and see how much incredibly how much talent there is out there. You
oh,
know,
there is.
To see these people like flash on and all that stuff, and you go, you know, you think to yourself, you know, back 10 years ago, that was the best group of actors there ever was and actresses, and then, you know, now 10 years later, you go, boy, these are great actors and actresses, and then, you know, 10 years from now, I'll say the same thing. I mean, there's just a lot of talented people that are pretty amazing as far as I'm concerned when it comes to acting.
Yeah, and you know, the real value, I tend to think, is the fact that we can go to the movies, we can see we can be thoroughly entertained, go to another place, or made to feel emotions we haven't felt before, or just be emotional. You know, yeah. That's the beauty of movies, yeah, yeah. That's why I cool. love movies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Oscars are good, you know, for the 10 minutes that we think about them, and then after that, it's you move on, I guess.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's playing at the Palm, and you can phone in if you'd like, 786-2578. That's 786-2578, 1-866-937-1340. You're with Bill Benick and Jim D. from the Palm Theater.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Kelly Shields is a real Californian providing real hope.
A few years ago, things were good. We just bought a new home in the suburbs. You know, living the American dream. But this year wasn't going as well. Turns out our home loan had an adjustable rate. All of a sudden, our house payment went sky high, and I thought we'd lose everything. We called the Hope Hotline just in time. People in our situation have about 90 days from when their rate jumps to negotiate with their lender before it's too late.
If you find yourself in a situation like Kelly, there's hope. If the interest rate on your home has gone up and you can't afford the payments, act now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit yourhome.ca.gov to learn more.
We qualified for help and got to keep our home. It could work for you, too.
You might qualify for help, but you'll never know if you don't call. This message is brought to you by the State of California, aired by the California Broadcasters.
The month of January is Restaurant Month, and the Sea Venture Restaurant invites you to come out to the beach and celebrate with this once-a-year special offer. The Sea Venture Restaurant menu is a three-course menu priced at only $30 per person. For the first course, you'll choose between their award-winning clam chowder or the iceberg wedge with croutons, jalapeno bacon, avocado, tomato, and lime Caesar dressing. The second course choices are grilled filet mignon with scalloped potatoes with onion and mushroom ragu, or orange glazed salmon with pan-fried risotto cake and vegetables tossed with prosciutto. And save room for dessert, where you'll enjoy the mango mousse with coconut sauce, kiwi and dark chocolate, or the fantastic pineapple upside cake with cherry creme anglaise and vanilla bean ice cream. You can also make this a romantic overnight getaway with dinner for two, and you'll enjoy a room with a private balcony spa, fireplace, and breakfast delivered to your room, all for $159. Now that's a deal. So start the new year off right and come down to the Sea Venture and enjoy the great winter weather and outstanding cuisine at special restaurant month pricing. The Sea Venture Resort, the best on the beach in Pismo Beach.
All right, you're back with Bill, and you're back with Jim D from the Palm Theater. And now it's time to go to the Palm Theater right now with Jimmy and find out what we're doing. This week we have three movies that are playing, and they're all knockout shows. So let's talk about them.
Well, The Artist is the French-directed film.
Movie du jour, for sure.
There are a lot of American actors. James Cromwell is in it. Malcolm McDowell is in it for about 10 seconds. John Goodman.
Where was James Cromwell before he did the Pig movie?
He was actually in some movies prior to that, but I think that was a very visible performance.
I guess, because I don't remember him. It's like all of a sudden he appeared out of nowhere to me.
Yeah, and now his filmography is probably 70 to 100 films.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? Another person that's now you see him all the time. I mean, you recognize him all the time, but at the time he was always a bit player and you didn't care, and that's Buscemi. Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi's been at it quite a while. And
yes.
He's been in quite a few movies, but he's always some, you know, goof. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, you know, like the handyman or whatever you call him. He's like the number 10 gangster.
Yeah, he can play. Well, I haven't seen this new one called Boardwalk Empire, but I guess he's a mover and a shaker and, you know, very intimidating, very intense presence. But then, of course, he's played characters that are really kind of nerdy and, you know, I mean, he can kind of do the full spectrum. I really like him a lot.
You know, I just watched the other day, freaking, I watched The Big Lebowski.
Oh.
Where John Goodman tells him to shut up every time he opens his mouth. It just cracks me up.
You know, that film has this huge fandom. There's Big Lebowski conventions. There's,
really?
You know, people dress up as the dude. And, you know, that movie, it's interesting because when the Coen brothers made True Grit, you know, here's Jeff Bridges again, and they were thinking, oh, we're going to have a secret, you know, those guys are working together. We're going to have a Big Lebowski 2, and I don't think they're ever going to make it. But if they did, I think they would have the biggest turnout ever because the fandom, the people who love that movie, I mean, they have conventions, you know.
That's
fun. They go bowling, I think.
I think it's a great movie, I think. I just like it. And what's his name that does the narration and appears in the beginning and end of it? The cowboy guy.
Oh, is it Sam
Elliott?
Sam Elliott, that voice.
Oh, yeah.
He does ram trucks usually.
And it works, I bet. I bet you couldn't do better than having the Sam Elliott as a voice for trucks.
True.
You know, I think that works.
True. And you know, Jeff Bridges, how can you play this sort of, you know, low-life drinker kind of guy who wears his pajamas half the time, but he makes him interesting and great.
And you know, I give Jeff Bridges a lot of credit. There's another guy with a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the stuff he's done, and this is one guy that can do stuff. I mean, it really is amazing. You know what? I'm curious is how they're ever going to possibly, how he's going to do it. James Cameron is, I guess they're going to do an Avatar 2 and 3 or something.
Yeah, they're making two more.
Okay, part of what Avatar was a good story. I mean, I like the story. It was simplistic, but you know, the way he did it, of course, was remarkable. That's stuff we'd never seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, in light of that, what I sometimes wonder is how do you do a sequel when you're basically basing it on stuff that nobody had ever seen you do before. Not the technology was new to everybody. You know, that was what made it so awe-inspiring, was to see these things that nobody had ever done before. And so now you're not going to have that element of, oh my gosh, it's my first time seeing something like this, you know. So I'm just wondering how successful. I don't know what kind of a plot he could write for 2 and 3 that's going to work.
Yeah, well, my just in speaking in numbers, I don't think Avatar 2 and 3 will make as much money as the first one. And like you said, for that same reason, it won't be as new and brand
unless
new.
Unless it comes up with something that we can't even imagine again, I suppose, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but that movie, I guess, is the highest grossing film of all time. It's made, I don't know, a couple billion worldwide. And the second highest grossing is Titanic. So Cameron has sort of a, he's got the corner on that
one. Now Sam Worthington's on a ledge or something there. He's got a movie, The Man on the Ledge, or whatever it's called. You know, it's a, like some guy that was in prison falsely, and now he's trying to prove. I stand on a ledge trying to prove he's innocent. I don't know how the plot's going to play out exactly. But
yeah, that opens today. And, you know, he's in a lot of movies, so Avatar really was a good springboard for his career, definitely.
Yeah, oh, for no kidding. He really, really, really. Okay, now let's talk about the artist.
Oh, silent movie. It's a lot of fun. It's about Hollywood and the transition from silent to sound pictures. Echoes of Singing in the Rain, but it is black and white. It is silent with a music soundtrack. We have people applauding it at the end of the film. It's a lot of fun. It's light. It's a recreation of a silent movie with some interesting twists and turns. But
and you're right.
It's
fun. I remember seeing a clip from it, and there's a number of American actors you recognize.
You know,
and yet it's silent. So that's, again, it's like very interesting how that plays. And then the last one we have is this terribly depressing movie. I bet. I don't know, I haven't seen it. That's a shame.
You know, when we go over the Oscar nominations, I'm sad that Shame didn't get some sort of a mention. At least Michael Fassbender, they were saying that he was going to get a Best Actor nominee, and the Academy just ignored this film. Now, again, this isn't a happy film, but I think it's a very brave film. Mm-hmm. It talks about a situation that happens today. I mean, what's interesting, Bill, is I spoke with a friend who's a therapist counselor, and he was talking about all this internet porn and things like that are breaking up marriages. It's doing stuff to people that you don't read on the front page or even on page 10. Shame is a movie that addresses this, and it's a provocative film. It's not a happy film in any way, but it really addresses something that's happening here and now, and that's where I thought it was extremely brave and courageous to make this. But maybe maybe people will warm up to this in a few years or something. Maybe it's ahead of its time, or maybe it's a subject that people don't want to go to the movies to see. I can understand that.
Here's the interesting thing, though. What would be interesting is to have... what would be interesting to see is to have a discussion, like on TV, to talk to sea shrinks and stuff, talk about the fact that men tend to be voyeuristic from the time we're young boys, you know, not young boys, but time we're teens, you know, young teens. You know, that's a part of the male whatever we are, is voyeurism. And obviously that's why Hugh Hefner became, a bazillionaire in early days. And yet women are totally not only repulsed a lot by porn, they're repulsed by the thought that the person that they're married to or their boyfriend or something would look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very interesting the reaction that women have to it, but not only to porn itself, but to the fact of how men enjoy it. They don't understand how men enjoy that.
Yeah.
But again, I think it has to do with there's a voyeur program in there that just goes back to who knows what, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't blame anyone to want to go to the movies and be entertained, to have a, good popcorn movie, have a good comedy or whatever it is, and then maybe not want to go to the movie to see, to the theater to see a movie like Shame or, Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, which I think is a brilliant film. Boy, people hated that movie. And to me, that was a movie about truth in marriage, or what is the glue? Stanley Kubrick says, what's the glue that keeps marriages together, and why do other people get married 5 and 6 times? And this film kind of explores that. Shame, in the same way where you're getting into an area with, sexuality and things like that. The character in Shame, Michael Fassbender, is really kind of a victim. I looked at him as a victim in this world that we have where you can't, you can't turn on your computer where you're not hit with some sexuality, dating,
I'm glad to see has happened. At least I have an antivirus program now that's not Norton. It's another program that was recommended to me by Coastal Computers. And I have to admit, it's done a marvelous job with pop-ups.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be, you'd every single, if you, if they, It was done deliberately. If you misspelled a word that you were putting into a search engine, it would automatically, the next thing would be porn. That's what would pop up as porn.
Yeah.
You know, it was like just hideous, you know. My wife used to think, I was, you know, what are you doing? I go, I'm doing nothing.
Or you can go into a site and you just spell it a little differently and
right.
You end up
that's
someplace
what,
you don't want to be.
Yeah. So anyway, but luckily this, I've had real good luck with this thing stopping the pop-ups, which is great.
Mm, yeah. But you know, the movies are for entertainment, and that entertainment is different for different people. And for me, Shame was an important, very brave work, and I wish more people would come to see it. I will tell you that they're not, and the Oscars pretty much ignored this film. But, well, you know, it's. I think they want to go see something nice and light and fun like The
Artist.
Well,
that's all. That's fun. That's nice. But, you know, you look back to A Clockwork Orange. Didn't that win the Academy Award?
I don't think it did.
Oh, it didn't win it?
No, but there's another perfect example of a very thought-provoking and a film that brings up issues that are worth debating.
Right,
you know,
right.
Was Alex as bad as the treatment given to him that made
right.
him good? You know, yeah. That's a really fascinating film.
Very interesting. And you got lots of good things. So when you say a popcorn movie, these are all popcorn movies. The Palm Theater, we have the best popcorn in town, and the drinks are cheap, and the candy's yummy, and the people are nice, and the whole thing's really fun. So go to the Palm Theater this weekend's a great weekend to do.
Yeah, and now is the time to go see the Oscar nominees. And if there's a film that you really liked and wasn't nominated for an Oscar, don't worry about it, because if you thought it was a good film, then it's a good film.
That's right. And the Pro Bowl, come on, go to the movies, would you? Thanks, Jim. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
I hear the music fading away in the background. Here at Bill, this is Talk to Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network. You know what we got to do today? We got to get you into Spencer's Fresh Market. It's the weekend. The weekend's here. Have another beer. And Spencer's has beer. They do. They have briskies. They got booze. Wine. You know, the whole darn thing. I've never seen. This is a Fat Tire Folly Pack, they call it. You ever seen Fat Tire beer? I don't know if I've had Fat Tire or not. But anyway, this is this has 1, 2, 3, 4 kinds of different things. It's kind of like the Firestone has a variety case thing where you can buy that. So anyway, and they sell that too at Spencer's. So I just thought I'd tell you that. And they sell slow roasted coffee. And so if you're going to get your coffee, get slow roasted coffee. If you're going to spend money on coffee, have something worthwhile. And don't forget, you use a lot less of slow roasted coffee than you use of the regular coffee because of the way it's roasted. Harris Ranch Bonus New York Steaks, $3.99 a pound. I thought I'd mention that again. Now, this is a 3-day sale today, tomorrow, and Sunday only. 3 pounds of snow white cauliflower, just 99 cents, just 33 cents a pound. $2.99 for a pound of Harris Ranch fresh brown beef for burgers. $5 chicken and sea solid white tuna, which is another great price at $1.25. And 2 for $5 bones Jif creamy peanut butter. And Jif is better than Skippy. My wife introduced me to Jif peanut butter when we first met. And she said, that's actually the first thing she did. She said, hi, one this jar of Jif peanut butter? And I go, I don't even know your name. She goes, well, just eat this. So anyway, and she's right. It's really good. $1.99 seedless red grapes. Roma tomatoes are 79 cents a pound. And they have all the great produce. And don't forget, they have lots of organic stuff. They have a huge selection now of vitamins and supplements and all those kinds of things that people like. And so you got that going on. You got the deli department. You can get everything put together for you so you don't have to sweat, slave, and work in the kitchen like a crazy person. Have them do some of the work. And you'll be happy that you did. Don't forget, they have, here's another one, 4 for $4, 2 liters of Pepsi-Cola. And so I thought I'd mention that to you. That's any kind of Pepsi, you know, Pepsi One, Pepsi Diet, or Pepsi Pepsi. And so that's a great buy. And what else? Just lots of great things all the time at Spencer's. And all the local products, too, that are really great. So get to Spencer's Fresh Markets in 5 locations on the Central Coast. San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Aurora Grande, and Santa Maria. Spencer's, where freshness is local. What did I have? What did I have here? Let me see what I have it here. Oh, here, this story came out. This is Pat Sajak saying he and Vanna White used to go across the street to some little diner or whatever it was, and they'd suck down margaritas, and they'd be bombed when they did the show.
Pat Sajak, you know, Wheel of Fortune's host, since 1981 says, on some of the old shows, he and Vanna White were a bit tipsy.
In NBC in Burbank, we had a place called Los Arcos across the street, which is Spanish, as you know, for the Arcos. And we go, and they serve great margaritas. So we would go, Vanna and I would go across and have 2 or 3 or 6, and then come and do the last shows and have trouble recognizing the alphabet. They're really good tapes to get hold of.
I mean, I know he was joking, but 2, 3, or 6 margaritas?
I want to buy a vowel. Excuse me?
A vowel.
You know, we tried that when we started this show, Kate. When we started this show, we were talking about it with the management. I said, what about we take the Mad Men example, and we turn the set into like Don Draper's office, and every guest that walks in, we say, can I get you a drink? It was a two-word answer. Guess what it was?
I'm guessing it was no, only because they just couldn't handle how crazy and fun the show would be, but it's impossible that the show could be any more fun. Look at the crowd you've got behind you. I don't know. Maybe they were taking the Pat Sajak advice.
Well, I think some of the crowd behind us has taken Pat Sajak's advice tonight. But yes, right. I got the two word version of no, which was career ending. That was what the management said on that one.
I see trees of green. Red roses too, I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white.
bright, blessed day. The dogs say goodnight. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I think of myself as a wonderful world. Hey, have a wonderful weekend, for gosh sakes. It's going to be a nice weekend, nice weather and everything, and take care of yourself. And then you and I'll get to you again on Monday at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here. Because.
This is Tarkus G.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.